An investigation by the magazine U.S. News & World Report concludes that the Secret Service is rife with problems. The current issue of the magazine documents alcohol abuse among agents, criminal offenses, and extramarital affairs between agents and members of the White House staff. Reporter Chitra Raghavan co-authored the story. She joins us in our studio, a place quite familiar to you, Chitra. You used to be a reporter here at NPR. Welcome.
A real pleasure to be back.
Your investigation of the Secret Service paints a picture that I think would surprise most Americans who've thought of the organization as a core of elite agents, courageous, loyal, above reproach. Give us some examples of what you found.
I think we opened our story with the special agent, Kenneth Banner, who went out to meet an informant, brought her back to his apartment. They ended up drinking and having sex, and she ended up, through no fault of his, except bad judgment, ending up dead in his bathroom off a history of drug overdose. And then we proceed from there to list a series of alcohol abuse. For instance, agents who were on Cheney's detail in San Diego this February ended up getting into a big fight with some locals at a bar, and one of the agents bit part of the ear off one of the locals, mm-hmm. and they listed their address as 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in the police report.
You mentioned another problem with Cheney's detail, this issue at the Olympics, where they lost the schedule for the closing ceremony.
That's right. And we went back to find out exactly what they had lost. And we re-interviewed the store owner. And he told us that, in fact, they had left behind a dozen pages that listed in detail all of Cheney's protective plans. And it's appeared that they had very little interest in getting these plans back.
What sort of response did you get from Secret Service managers when you confronted them with these issues?
They were very angry. They were very reluctant to talk about it. And indeed, until the end, they gave us very little cooperation. They did send us a 4-page detailed letter addressing some of these specific cases. And at the last minute, when we provided a second list of issues for them to discuss, they declined. They also declined to provide their director to be interviewed by us.
Not only do you document in your story these issues of alcohol abuse, criminal offense, extramarital affairs, but you also say that there's a morale problem that's developed that goes beyond these issues.
Definitely. I think agents and officers in the uniform division are exhausted from the lack of time off post 9/11. They're all working extraordinarily hard. They've been told, for instance, they have to work one day off of their 2 days off. These issues that we talk about, these problems, these scandals, also have contributed to the morale problem.
And that's leading to something of an exodus from the service.
There's a tremendous exodus. If you look at the uniform division officers who guard the White House, you know, the officers who stand around the booths around the White House and at the foreign missions, they are leaving in unprecedented numbers. Indeed, of the 1,000 uniformed officers, by the end of the year, they may have lost as many as 400. In fact, the counter-snipers who guard the roof of the White House are leaving. The uniformed officers are leaving as well. And the agency has been forced to pull its firearms instructors from the training academy and having them stand post at the White House. They're even thinking of having their plainclothes agents stand post at the White House, which is really extraordinary.
And Secret Service officials admit that this is a problem, this morale problem, and that they're losing agents.
They have admitted it, but I'm not sure that they have told Congress or the president the extent of the crisis. Many agents within the service say that they are worried that the protective mission is at risk. For instance, the service in the past few months has put in place something called protective methodology. And it's essentially a euphemism for less protection for certain foreign dignitaries and other protectees, not for the president. In fact, they've beefed up the president's detail. But many agents are saying to us that by going against what they know, which is so-called 360-degree coverage, you watch someone's back and you watch their front and you watch them from the sides. Now, in some instances, a foreign dignitary, for instance, may have as few as 2 agents guarding them.
The Secret Service is one of the agencies that's going to be moved into this new Department of Homeland Security. Is there any evidence that that might help to fix some of the problems that you've documented in your story?
Our analysis is that, in fact, it might exacerbate some of these problems because you're going to have a brand new agency, which is going to have very little time, initially at least, to correct any problems. And our analysis is that any agency that inherits the Secret Service is going to inherit these problems. So you can imagine that these problems will go unresolved and may fester in this new agency.
Thanks very much, Chitra.
My pleasure.
Chitra Raghavan of U.S. News & World Report. co-authored the article in the magazine's current issue about the problems at the Secret Service.